Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday, November 18th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I hope all of you had a lovely my birthday weekend. I certainly did. And with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Glad to have you with me, as always. And also with me today, my good friend, John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Nice to be here as well. Good morning.
Actually, John, I want to start with you. You had a pretty interesting piece to kick off particle debris on Friday. So I'd like to have you talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the particle debris article of the week came from Dan Morin at Macworld. He's
Hi, Dan.
A great writer, and he's been on Background Mode, and he's terrific. And he gave us some background and insight into how Apple thinks about the Mac Pro design, the new Mac Pro 16-inch that just came out. And his article titled was Apple Listens Strategically but Acts Tactically. And he went into a little bit of the details about the thinking behind this new Mac Pro. You know, it's not revolutionary. It's not a big change. But there's some little changes that are indicative of rethinking the engineering approach to the product. And basically, it comes in terms of the heat management and mm-hmm. the keyboard. You know, when we think about Apple MacBooks, we think about how great they are, but then we often have a pause when we think about a potential irritant. Maybe you're not in on all four USB-C ports, you're not all in, then there's no MagSafe connector anymore, mm-hmm. which we loved. You're not all in on the heat.
Okay, hold on. Not all of us, past tense, loved the MagSafe connector. I still have one, and part of the reason... Part of why I automatically have diminished interest going forward is because I will not have one going forward. If I buy a new machine, I can't get one anymore. So,
yeah. So I think there's a combination of the fascination over the power and the beauty of the machine and the little irritants. And what Apple did in this machine was they made it a little bigger. It's 0.64 inches. It was 0.61 inches thick. I don't know what the metric terms are. And it's 4.02 pounds, moving it to 4.3 pounds. So it's gained about 0.3 pounds. And that was to make it a little thicker and a little roomier for a revised thermal management system. Mm-hmm. And as Dan points out, the 16-inch supports a redesigned fan that promises a 28% increase in airflow and a 35% larger heatsink. So no more putting your MacBook Pro in the freezer to cool it down and get full performance out of it. And they're back to a revised scissors keyboard. Mm-hmm. So if you can eliminate the irritants and still keep what's essential, and then you got something good going. And one of the big irritants was the loss of the escape key in some modes. So having a hardware escape key that's always there and always available, was it reduces some of the irritants of the previous machines. And Dan goes on to talk about how, you know, the people who were responsible for the designs of these machines in the past were Steve Jobs and Johnny Ive. And with Johnny Ive no longer involved, we're starting to see a little bit of engineering focus, which is nice. And to that end, the product manager has to have a good feel for the community. It's not just enough to listen, because people will rant and they'll tell you what they want, and it's very self-serving sometimes. People send feedback to Apple about what they want. And you can be overwhelmed, as Dan agrees and points out. Apple can be overwhelmed by feedback. And what the product manager has to do is listen, but recognize the fact that some requests are not going to be realistic engineering-wise, design-wise, or cost-wise. And listening to the community means being part of the community and going to conferences and visiting, talking to professional customers, having workshops, and really getting in tune with the society, with the community that surrounds the machine. And that's a different approach than having an aesthetic feel. I think we got the feeling, I got the feeling definitely, that Johnny Ive designed the machine the way he wanted it to look and feel. as opposed to how you wanted it to function.
Mm-hmm.
And that put design constraints on the previous generation MacBook Pros. And there wasn't enough room for a scissors keyboard. There wasn't enough room for a great heatsink and great fans machines. The previous MacBook Pro had a reputation for being overheated. And then Apple figured out how to throttle it down. And so you lost some performance. This new machine can exercise the ninth generation Intel Core processors fully. So it's an interesting exploration on Dan's part. And I did some elaboration on my part and some thoughts on the design of the computer in Particle Debris on Friday. So all in all, it's a machine to have some joy about because the irritants are gone. The power is there. Maybe mm-hmm. it's a little bigger, a little bit heavier, but you probably wouldn't notice it handling the two computers because it's only a quarter of a pound in
right. weight
difference. And you get an extra hour in battery life because of the bigger battery.
And
one of the most important things about this machine, and I was talking to Dave Hamilton about this, we expected the machine out of the box to have an entry price of $29.99 because Apple.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
when we saw that the 6-core model was just $23.99, we thought,
yeah.
You know, there's the price outrage that we typically feel. We kind of saw it coming. You know, a 16-inch. Mm-hmm. It's only 4/10 of an inch bigger on the screen, but we got the feeling like this is a pro machine. 16-inch versus 15-inch, not really.
Well, Apple's been trying to get that pro moniker to actually mean something. Like, we've seen that lately.
And like the Mac Pro, the new one, we expect to pay through the mm-hmm. nose for that.
Right.
And this 6-core model at $23.99 was a bit of a delight and surprise
mm-hmm.
in that you can get into one of these machines for a reasonable amount of money instead of, you know, $3,000. $29.99 doesn't look too bad for some people. It's outrageous for others.
Right.
And you start adding AppleCare and you know, maybe you want 32 gig of RAM and that's an extra $200 or $400. You can be pushing $4,000 in a real hurry. And that's an expensive computer to carry around.
Oh, you can. Absolutely. Yeah.
So,
but also like, I think a little bit of, and this sounds silly, but, like the RAM upgrade options and the graphics card options, which used to be the thing, the graphics card was one of the ones that you basically couldn't replace. So you always had to buy the best one to make sure that you were getting the most life out of it. And like, I know that they're charging highway robbery. Like we get that all the time. If you ever buy something build to order from Apple, like they're charging an inordinate amount for that extra memory. But I feel like these are pro levels of RAM to be putting in a computer. And it didn't used to be that way. You know, what made it a MacBook Pro was it had an extra port or, before they started making, if you wanted a 15-inch machine, all you could get was a MacBook Pro and it didn't really matter what the other options were. And so it's been interesting to watch the evolution of that. And I feel like, a laptop with 16 gig of memory, even that's probably a pro level machine. You know, maybe it's only a pro level machine at 16 gig for another year or two, depending on, you know, how you and Dave's eternal how much memory should be in my machine debate continues to evolve. But
imagine a
32 gigabytes of RAM in a laptop, you know.
Yeah, you can imagine a scientist at a national laboratory or National Institutes of Health sitting down and saying, well, let's see, we got a new simulation going and we need to run these simulations on our laptops and it's going to require 24 gigabytes of RAM. And somebody raises their hand and says, well, there's no MacBook Pro that you can buy mm-hmm. has that. And so cross that off the acquisition list.
Right.
And the guy says, but we love our Macs. And went, well, it's just not going to suit our needs.
Yeah.
And so you find people who are, you know, going after the Hewlett Packards because Hewlett Packard knows how to cater to people. You know, you need a big clunky fat machine with 64 mm-hmm. gig of RAM and enormous graphics. Well, we'll sell it to you.
And you know,
Apple swoons and says, oh, but it's so ugly, you know.
Well, I'm a little sad only because I'm a little sad that this machine didn't get a press event, because to me it seems different enough that Apple should have been able to go on stage and get the attention for it. That's kind of what I think.
How much time and effort a press event is, how expensive it is, and
I know
how the time, the practice, and the rehearsal, know. And the prep.
But oh, okay, so Andrew,
no.
Andrew, do you think there should have been a press event? I'm going to put you on the spot.
Not by itself. I think, you know, we were all expecting Apple to announce other things. Like, we got the AirPods Pro. There was another rumor about an Apple Tag, which is a Bluetooth tracking device. Mm-hmm. So I think it would have made sense if they released all those at once. And if they did that, then I think a press release or a press event would have made sense.
Now, see, so I agree with you, but I think the stuff that we did get, so the AirPods and the laptops, I feel like that could have been a good event in itself because there's this perception that Apple doesn't update their computers enough. We keep hearing that. Apple doesn't have new laptops. Apple doesn't care about the Mac anymore. And a press event from Apple always gets attention. And I don't mean attention from us and Macworld and places like that. I mean, you know, or, you know, iMore, like, you know, hi, Renee. I'm talking about, like, on a morning news program, you know, Good Morning America or the Today Show or whatever. Like, they are going to talk about, yesterday, Apple held an event where Tim Cook came out and debuted the new laptop. And that could help change this perception that Apple doesn't care about the Mac. Because a lot of people have that impression because they've just been hearing it. Because Apple hasn't been doing a good job of that lately. So I feel like anytime they have an update like this, particularly because this is a new machine, this is we've never had a 16-inch machine. We've had 13, 15, 17 for ages. You know, there was a 12 for a while, and then they brought back the 12, and then it went away again. So there should be, I feel like because this is a pro-level machine, it's a little bit bigger screen, like that should be a thing that warrants an event on its own. So I thought that was a thing that definitely should have gotten an event because it would help change that perception. You know, it's one of those things that if you try to pin people down who aren't necessarily Apple observers, they would be like, yeah, they make phones. You know, did you know they may still make computers? You know, sort of. And this could help change that. So, yes, John, I know it's expensive. I know the logistics are not insignificant. I know it's a big deal to try and make something like that happen, but I definitely feel like in this case it was warranted. For just the AirPods, no, but AirPods and a new laptop, yeah, we should talk about it. And I wish that we had had that opportunity. Andrew, you and I will have to speculate about the tracker in the near future because I had two conversations about that just this weekend. So yeah, because people were asking me about tiles. And then all of a sudden, twice, all of a sudden the conversation took a complete left turn. It was very weird. and there, I will probably have more to say about that later. But anyway, so you should go check out Particle Debris. John comes and talks to you about it occasionally because Particle Debris is great. And you should always check out John's column, which generally is updated on Fridays. And always a good read, and particularly when John is talking about something that somebody like Dan Morin writes. It's always, you know, that's a good read too. So definitely check it out. And again, hi, Dan.
And I just want to add, I'm going to take a pot shot. So contrary to what some websites have been saying over the weekend, my opinion is that I really don't think this has anything to do with the iPad. I don't think this is Apple admitting that the iPad can actually replace the computer. I'm just taking this as face value, and I think that it's just a standard refresh of the MacBook line, because not only does it have a better screen, hopefully a better keyboard, I'm looking at the product page right now, and not only can you upgrade the RAM to up to 64 gigs, for the storage, you can upgrade it to a whopping 8 terabyte SSD.
Oh, yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pro-level machine. And that's funny that you say it has something to do with the iPad, because really, it's the right tool for the job. And nobody's saying that the iPad is good for 100% of things. It may be good for 100% of the things that you do, or that your great aunt does, or whatever, but maybe it's not 100% for the things that you yourself do. I don't know. You don't know. Sit down and think about it.
Kelly, I was reading about the new Corvette, the C8, the mid-engine Corvette for 2020 and a Car and Driver.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking to the product manager, and he said, we started off with a mid-engine car, and we turned it into a Corvette.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the same feeling about this 16-inch. We started off with a pro notebook mm-hmm. with all the power you need, and then we turned it into a MacBook Pro.
Mm-hmm. That's a good approach. I like that. Yeah. I think it's, but it is interesting that people are immediately taking Apple to task for, because nobody's happy. Apple doesn't release a new laptop. Everybody's mad about it. Apple releases a new laptop, and apparently everybody's still mad about it. Like, what are they supposed to do? Anyway, if you have strong feelings about this one way or the other, you can always let us know. You can reach us via email at observations@macobserver.com. You can talk to us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. Now, because my birthday has now come and gone, it is officially now Christmas season. And Christmas season means shopping. So it's a little bit before Thanksgiving, I know. So that means it's not necessarily seasonal. But Black Friday has sort of extended. It's become kind of a holiday of its own for people who are power shoppers. And one of the things that happens with that is that those deals start earlier and earlier. And this year, because November started on a Friday, the fourth Thursday of the month is very, very late in the year. So the amount of time between Christmas and Thanksgiving, the amount of time most people think they have to shop for those things, is shorter than it generally is. So we do some gift guides around here, and we've done some other gift picks and different things at different times. So Andrew, you've done some gift pick sort of things for us in the past. Do you have anything you want to tell us about yet this year?
Yeah, I have a couple things. One of them, I don't know if they're doing a Black Friday deal or not, but I'm going to add them to a gift guide anyway. About a month or two ago, iFixit sent me a couple of their toolkits. One of them is called the Essential Electronics Toolkit, and then the other one is a ProTech Toolkit.
Okay.
Now, full disclosure, I haven't actually used these tools just because I haven't had a need to take anything apart. But
Andrew, no one ever has a need. That's why you get these screwdrivers. I wonder, and then you just bust out the fun screwdrivers and go to town. It's great.
Yeah. But, basically, iFixit is such a trusted and well-known website that I'm pretty confident that, you know, these are very high-quality, good tools.
I can tell you if they're anything like previous iterations of iFixit tools, they are. Full disclosure, I own two iFixit sets of screwdrivers. One is like a little compact set, and then I have a larger kit. I've used not only their hardware, but their website for different iterations of upgrading computers. Because basically, almost every model of Apple laptop out there, there's a tear down and rebuild guide. They do it for phones. Anything that has repairability, you can probably find a guide on iFixit for how to repair it. And if you are not a screwdriver enthusiast, like it turns out I apparently am, you can go to their site and it will tell you up front, you will need this screwdriver, that screwdriver, maybe you need a spudger, maybe you need one of those suction cups to help pull the screen out of a thing. And they have all of that available to sell you, which is a nice business model. But if you need it, they have it. They tell you up front, like, these are the things that you're going to need in order to complete whatever this task is on this repair guide. And it's really nice. Everything's laid out really clearly. You can follow along with the pictures and do everything pretty clearly. I've used it for stuff that I'm not familiar with at all and pulled apart other electronics and been able to fix things and put them back together again using iFixit guides. So I love them. They are not a sponsor. This is just me saying iFixit is super duper great and makes me really happy they exist, because they do a lot of they do a lot of stuff like that. And they have user submitted guides for things too, which is pretty cool. So I'm glad to hear that the screwdrivers rate your list, because their sets are always nice. Very, very nice.
Yeah. And I'm also pretty impressed looking at their website that they also offer some refurbished toolkits.
That's so a great idea.
It's not just, you know, refurbished electronics you can buy. Now you can buy the tools to fix those electronics as refurbished. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And they do a lot of like right to repair stuff like that too. Like they're pretty active in the, like they testify, they will send out messages about like, this is a state that's about, like if you live in a state where they want to pass a bill to encourage right to repair or they want to discourage right to repair, they will tell you about it and they will let you know what's going on with it. So it's pretty nice. Yeah, I dig iFixit a lot. So that's pretty cool. Refurb tools.
And then one more pick I had. So there's this Dutch company called Mujo or Mujo. Mm-hmm. They sell really nice iPhone accessories, very nice iPhone cases. They are made out of premium leather. So they're nice. They sent me a pair of touchscreen gloves to review.
Oh, nice.
And it's really nice. You know, recently here in Michigan, we've had some pretty cold weather and I've been riding around on my bike and their website doesn't say like the minimum temperature that it can support. But even on really cold, windy days, my hands have been completely warm, not even the slightest bit of cold. So
really?
I'm pretty impressed with them.
And, you know, that actually gets accidentally more useful because with Face ID, you don't have to pull out a finger to Touch ID your home button anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is the thing I was thinking about this year because I was thinking, you know, it might be time to get some touchscreen gloves because before I always thought like it would be pointless because I still have to pull out a finger for the home button to unlock anything, you know. Because
baby, it's cold outside. I don't want to touch that button.
So, and I was going to say, Andrew, I'm very excited to hear about your experience with these gloves because you live in Michigan. So, like, if anybody can put those through the paces, it's going to be you. It doesn't get that cold here, but when there's wind, like, my hands just get frozen. And I do have the problem of where, like, my phone is like, you know, my Touch ID phone would be like, that's clearly not a finger. It's far too cold. There's no way that that's your thumb that you're trying to push on the home button. So I'm glad to hear that these are good. Touchscreen gloves have varying degrees of success. So unless you have a trusted review, like somebody like Andrew who can actually put it through the paces and let you know what's up, or you can try them in store, I don't recommend buying those unless you have some solid piece of knowledge to work from. Because I've tried a few in store and had utter failure every time. So that's another reason I haven't bought any is because I tried for a couple of winters to try and find a good pair and they were crap. So that's a good thing to know about. John, do you have anything that sounds good for the holidays this year?
Well, one of the things I've noticed about tech gifts, and I don't mean to be too negative here, but they have a little utilization factor. You know, you give somebody a gadget, a gizmo, and they open it up and then they put it aside and then they may not use it for quite a while. So I try to give gifts that are very usable and have a high utilization factor. So I tend to think more towards chocolate and cookies and wine and breads and things like that.
Consumables
where people can enjoy it. And when they're done, it's done. And they had high utilization, and it wasn't something that was just, you know, we put in a drawer and wait for it to be used.
Yeah.
So that's my philosophy on gift giving.
Part of what I like.
It's kind of non-technical.
No, it's great. I do give some technical gifts, but only because what I think of as a great definition of a present is something that somebody would really like and really use, but wouldn't necessarily buy themselves. So, for example, my family may not be on the wireless charging train. So, in fact, I know that there are members of my family who have phones that are wirelessly charging capable but don't do it. And it might come in really handy for them to be able to just set the phone down on the little pad on the table or the little stand, you know, on the nightstand or whatever. So, wireless charging is a really good one because, like, they can set it up and then, like, you know, there's an obvious benefit. You don't have to plug the cable in anymore. You just set it here and your phone charges. It's magic. You should do that. So I tend to go with things like that. Like, here's a really great cable to charge your phone in the car, or here's an upgrade to that cable that you already have so that it doesn't fray this time. Like, I've seen you chew through three of these this year, and so now I'm going to get you one with a better cover around the outside so that doesn't happen anymore. Right, whatever. So I tend to do things like that sometimes. And you can find out about other cables and gift picks of mine, because I did a Mac Voices gift guide this year. Chuck Joyner does those. We've talked about them before on the show. I did one that just came out, and Andrew is going to be on soon. You may see other TMO folks over there. And one of the great things about the gift guides, this is one of the things I love, love, love about the gift guides, is that there's no repeats. So Chuck Joyner is keeping track of what everybody picks as you go through. And then folks who are on later, like when somebody there wants to pick something, then Chuck has to go, no, that's taken. You have to choose something else. So you always get all kinds of stuff. There's technical gifts there. There's non-technical gifts there. Things that require shipping, things that don't. Stuff that's great to give in person. Stuff that's great for members of your family. Stuff that might be great for just like somebody that you're casually acquainted with. And, you know, like maybe you have a work gift exchange or Secret Santa or something like that. So they're always really good. They're always really varied. And they're always really fun. I tend to watch all of them every year and get gift ideas for other folks. Because, like I said, some are technical, some aren't technical at all. And some are really small, like buy somebody in your family a nicer iPhone charging cable. And some are huge things, like 1 year I was on, and one of the picks was, if you want to learn iOS programming, you should sign up to go to the Big Nerd Ranch boot camp for a week in like Atlanta or wherever it was. Like, that would be a great gift for somebody that wants to learn iOS programming. So there's a wide variety of price points and ideas and everything there. So you should definitely check those out. Like I said, I've been on one, and Andrew's going to be on one. So there will be, there's always a wide variety of folks over there. So Chuck does a good job of mixing it up, and we have a good time. And I will tell you, I have decided that there's a special prize when you steal one of Chuck's picks, not just one of the other people on the panel's picks, but when you pick something that Chuck already has on his list. I feel like that's winning, and I managed to do it twice. So you should definitely check out that episode. But like I said, there's a wide variety of stuff available over there, and it makes for some good ideas. And for people who listen to a lot of other podcasts and different things about Apple, you will hear a lot of folks there who are familiar to you. So that's always a good time. So as I said, keep in mind that the official season is short this year because Thanksgiving falls so late. So we should start looking at Black Friday deals. And Andrew, I know you keep an eye out for that kind of stuff. So you'll have stuff on the site when we find things that are pretty notable, right?
Yeah. So right now, I'm tentatively going to publish my Black Friday guide on November 26th.
Okay.
And then sometime in December, I'm going to have a second, more generalized holiday gift guide. So nice. Check those out.
And as the rest of us come up with good picks or good deals on things, you will absolutely find those on the site. That's pretty great. And you know, something John briefly mentioned is a bottle of scotch, which is generally a pretty good Christmas gift for somebody.
Yes, it is.
Yes, I can attest to that. You know, sometimes bourbon, you know, if that's your thing. But yeah, bottle of something is sometimes a good way to share holiday spirit.
It's always available. It lasts a long time. It's immediately available and has high utilization factor, and it's expensive and it's healthy.
And it will fit your budget. So if you have a little bit more to spend, you just buy a little nicer bottle. And yeah, there's lots of ways to do that. I like the high utilization factor. Yeah. Now I have plans tonight. I have to go utilize something from behind the bar this weekend. All right. So thanks very much, both of you, for being here. Andrew, thank you so much for coming by to talk to us about holiday gift guides.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I do look forward to your Mac Voices appearance. I'm wondering who you're going to get paired up with, so I can find out, so I can see what kind of chemistry you guys have. It'll be fun. John, thanks as always for coming by.
John Dickinson Martellaro signing off.
See how I left it for you this time, because you didn't like what I was saying it for you. And I appreciate that you took time out of your day to talk to us instead of rewatching Dickinson. It makes me happy that you can prioritize us for a little while. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.